This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor. Jeff Mellor.
Happy Saturday afternoon. I hope you're having a fabulous weekend so far. Welcome on in to White Sox Weekly. I know in Chicago we are on WGN Radio today as the Bears are playing and thus on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. So if you're hearing my voice for the first time, welcome on in. I am Jeff Mellor and this is White Sox Weekly, which we bring you every Saturday 2 hours prior to the start of our pregame coverage, which will begin at 5:30 this afternoon here at Wright Field. White Sox taking on the Mets, game number 2 of 3 in this series. First pitch coming your way at 6:10 this evening. Luis Castillo on the mound for the White Sox against Christian Scott. What we do on White Sox Weekly, look, this is essentially an extended pregame show for you to talk White Sox with us if you like. We'll recap what went on during the week, talk a lot about what's going on around the major leagues as well, and just bring you up to date on everything you need to know about your favorite baseball team. Your first place, Chicago White Sox. Mike Vassell slated to join us at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Brooke Fletcher of CHSN, she was on the field talking hero of the game, who we'll get to in a moment. Yesterday evening, Brooke will join us here in the broadcast booth around 5 o'clock tonight. And then, of course, our pregame coverage kicks off at 5:30. All right, last night, I don't know what to say anymore about Friday nights at Wright Field. It's been a magical season to begin with, but it just seems like whatever you want to happen on a Friday night, the excitement, it has been an absolute thriller. It seems like each and every Friday night here at Wright Field, the White Sox have just delivered magic, and it was no different last night. Now, it didn't start out that way. Of course, the White Sox bats were in a bit of a slumber on Thursday afternoon as the Atlanta Braves came to town for their one-game makeup from a game that was postponed back in early June, June 11th to be precise. That game was washed out, and so the Braves, who had an off day prior to their series against the Milwaukee Brewers, that was also a mutual off day with the White Sox. So the makeup date was on Thursday this week, and that game, the Braves ended up winning 2-0, and the White Sox were one hit. And of course, Will Venable addressed that prior to last night's game, said he didn't think energy was by any means lacking. In fact, he felt like he was a little bit surprised the White Sox were so upbeat, considering that originally that would have been an off day, and they are in the midst of a 16-day stretch without an off day. So Will Venable actually was very encouraged on Thursday prior to the game with how much energy the team seemed to have. Unfortunately, the hard-hit balls that they had in that game against Braves starter Grant Holmes just seemed to be hit at Braves defenders, and sometimes that just happens to be baseball. And that seemed to be the case on Thursday. Eventually, when the White Sox did get to Grant Holmes a little bit with a couple of runners in the seventh, the Braves called upon their A relievers, and they were able to shut down the White Sox, and they won that game 2-0. So that set the stage for last night here at Wright Field. The White Sox looking to bounce back from that tough offensive performance, and it didn't start out exactly the way you would have liked. Now, last night, it was Elvis night here at the park, and I will tell you that now for over a decade has been one of the best promotions going here at Wright Field. It always brings in a big crowd, and it always is a festive atmosphere here at the ballpark. It was no different yesterday when the game began. However, the Mets, who have been playing really good baseball since the trade deadline when they have offloaded some of their higher-priced players who will be free agents at the end of the season. The Mets have had a season from hell at 58-71 now, and with a big spending team, you don't generally think that you'll be sellers at the trade deadline. The Mets were, but they still do have a lot of really good young players in addition to some perennial all-stars. I'm talking, of course, about Francisco Lindor, Bo Bichette, Carson Benj, A.J. Ewing, and then, of course, Luis Robert Jr., who has finally made his return from the injured list a couple weeks ago and was making his first return to Wright Field as a member of the opposition. Well, the Mets started things by getting on the board early in the second inning, scoring the first run of the ball game. And then in the fourth, Brenton Doyle actually lost a ball in the lights. It would have been a routine fly ball, which would have had Sean Burke cruising, I think, much deeper into this game than he ended up going. But Luis Robert Jr. had a ball that actually Brenton Doyle lost in the lights, and it went down as a double because Doyle couldn't make a play on it. And with Jared Young on first base, the Mets found themselves in a good spot with a couple of runners in scoring position with only one out. Brett Beatty would bring home the first two runs of the ball. I'm sorry, the second two runs of the ball game, making it 3-0. Bo Bichette would add a solo home run in the fifth, and the White Sox, it felt like last night, after trailing 4-0, we're going to have to dig deep and maybe just maybe find a way to try and squeak out a series 2-1 against this Mets team. However, something I have harped on time and time again is that this White Sox team, no matter what it looks like, they just don't quit until the ballgame is over. And finally, in the sixth inning, the White Sox broke through, and critical moment came, believe it or not, on an ABS challenge. Munetaka Murakami, on a 2-2 count, was punched out with the next pitch. But Murakami shrewdly challenged, and it was overturned, giving him a 3-2 count instead of two outs in the inning and nobody aboard. And so, 3-2, next pitch.
The 3-2 pitch. Another sweeper. This one is outside, ball four. So remember that little sequence. It's a walk to Murakami. The batter is Vargas. He's doubled and walked.
Miguel Vargas, who has been an absolute superstar and, in my opinion, the team's MVP this year, came to the dish with the White Sox trailing by four, but a runner aboard, and Miguel Vargas finally got the party started last night.
And he swings it, drives one to left, way back there, gone! He didn't waste it. Two-run homer, they're on the board.
Well, you said we might have to hit a home run to get back in it, and was that soon enough?
What a night for Miguel Vargas.
Vargas reached base three times last night. He was 2-for-3, including that home run you heard right there, his 29th of the season. Vargas now has 74 runs driven in for the White Sox. Randall Grichuk, who was playing left field last night, came up right after Miguel Vargas, and he did not waste any time either.
Swinging a fly ball, well hit, out in the deep left center. Gone! Grichuk makes it 4-3.
And of course, the White Sox were back in it with that home run, and you started feeling good. Coincidentally enough, in the pregame show, I actually played some highlights from August 21st, 2005, because we do a segment called On This Date during our pregame show in White Sox history, and the White Sox actually hit back-to-back-to-back home runs on August 21st, 2005. Of course, we all remember what happened in 2005, what a magical year it was. The White Sox actually ended up hitting four home runs in that inning, which tied a franchise record. So back-to-back-to-back, 21 years ago, and that brought Colson Montgomery to the plate after already having watched two home runs precede him.
Swinging a fly ball to right! It is gone! We're tied! Colson with a line rocket to right.
Well, I think that is extremely telling. It seems the Mets knew, the Sox knew, everybody knew that the White Sox were just about to figure things out against Manaea, and it happened so quickly, they never got the new pitcher in.
I should maybe add a little bit more context there as DJ was breaking it down. Sean Manaea, the Mets starter, was brilliant through five, and then the wheels clearly came off there in the sixth inning once he was above the 80-pitch threshold because the Murakami walk, you know, with an out, nobody was even moving around in the Mets bullpen because Manaea looked like he was surely going to give the Mets at least six, if not seven, last night. Then the Vargas home run right on the heels of the Murakami walk. And then quickly, Andy Green, the Mets interim manager, got the bullpen moving around. And then before you know it, Grichik had homered. And then all of a sudden, the Mets bullpen was in a flurry as they were trying to quickly get people ready. In fact, I do believe that's the only reason Manaea faced Colson Montgomery is because no one was really ready to go in that moment. And as you just heard, Colson Montgomery unloaded for the third straight home run for the White Sox. That's actually the second time this season the White Sox have done that, by the way, hit back-to-back-to-back jacks. They did it earlier in April against the Diamondbacks in Arizona this season. So three straight home runs, and the White Sox were all tied up. And it was nice to see, too, because, by the way, Sean Burke, who pitched six innings, gave up four earned runs, but much better than that. I've already gone through the Brenton Doyle ball that was lost in the lights. Because it was lost in the lights, you can't catch what you can't see, the official scorecard mantra, you know, no error on that play. So some tough earned runs that Burke was saddled with, but he pitched much better than his line indicates. Did not walk anybody last night, but it was nice to see that the White Sox offense came back and supported him. He was not going to be saddled with a tough loss because of their ability to come back. But of course, it's not just about preventing your starting pitching from being saddled with a loss. Ultimately, you have to win a ball game. And because the White Sox bullpen was able to shut the Mets down with an inning of shutout baseball, he struck out two. Brian Hudson looked good, better than he has in a while, to be honest. And then Grant Taylor came on in the ninth and also a shutout frame for the White Sox. Two strikeouts by Grant Taylor, which gave the Sox the opportunity to walk it off for the 10th time this season. And after Colson Montgomery drew a walk, Braden Montgomery pinch ran for him. Now, Brenton Doyle sacrificed Montgomery over to second. Luis Angel Acuna could not come through. So there were a couple of outs in the bottom of the ninth with the White Sox tied up at four. And the crazy thing about the White Sox with all their walk-off wins this year is that it's no single individual. In fact, it seems like it is a new character each and every time. And last night, it was Jake Rogers' turn.
The 0-1. Rogers with a high fly ball out in the left center. Robert back. It is gone! He's won it! That is a two-run homer! Jake Rogers!
Now let's celebrate! Let's jump up and down! Love it!
He's going to be mobbed at home plate. This team, man oh man.
This team indeed. Jake Rogers, the hero last night. He added the 10th walk-off win for the White Sox this season, and he joins a group of seven other White Sox players who have also walked it off, including Jacob Gonzalez, who now plays for the Pirates. Miguel Vargas, you'll recall, on a Friday night in the game that Munetaka Murakami left with an injury, he walked it off with a home run against the Tigers back here in May. Braden Montgomery, he homered in his big league debut against the Braves to walk it off. Colson Montgomery, Sam Antonacci, Tristan Peters twice, and Edgar Caro twice as well. So what a season, what a year of magical moments by the White Sox, in particular here on the South Side with all of these walk-off victories. It has been unbelievable, and Brooke Fletcher has been in some ways in the middle of it all because as the on-field reporter for CHSN, she quite frequently has the opportunity to speak with the hero of the night. Brooke will join us at 5 o'clock today, and last night was no different as Jake Rogers was on the field with her after the game, after a walk-off home run.
I don't know what to think. I mean, that was an incredible atmosphere, incredible game. I mean, I just tried to put a good swing on it there and just got out, but it was enough.
Runner on third, two outs. Feels nice, doesn't it?
That's cold.
All right, you got two outs, a runner on third. What's going through your mind as you're approaching that at-bat?
I mean, he throws hard, so I knew he was going to try to challenge me early and just try to put a good swing on it and caught some barrel.
You hear people chanting Jake in the stands. What does it mean just to be a part of this group and make the impact the way that you did?
It's incredible. I mean, this atmosphere is awesome. I mean, I've came here for a long time as a visiting player and got a lot of boos, so it's good to hear some cheers from the fans, and, it's a great atmosphere here at the Rick.
For you guys to come back from down four, just what are you starting to learn about this group and what they can bring?
Never give up, man. I mean, back-to-back-to-back homers to put us right back where we needed to be, and then bullpen came down, shut it down, and had some good at-bats there in the ninth to put me in a good position to make a good swing. And, yeah, this team is incredible. I mean, they have a lot of fun, which I love.
There you go. Jake Rogers, the hero last night after the game, talking with Brooke Fletcher, courtesy of CHSN. Brooke's going to join us here in the broadcast booth around 5 o'clock today here on White Sox Weekly. So, obviously, I'm going to ask her what the strategy is, because, interestingly enough, with those walk-off wins, she's always got to have her peripheral vision on high alert, because she knows that somebody from the team is going to be sneaking around with the intention of hitting the hero with a Gatorade bath. And you could hear it there a little bit as she has to sidestep it. But also, I think she also has to be somewhat sly not to give it away that they're about to be, you know, hit with the ice-cold bat. So I'll pick her brain on what the move is and what the strategy behind interviewing somebody who after a walk-off win, and also just to make sure that she doesn't spoil the surprise when they do get hit with what is one of those cool, painful feelings whenever they happen. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. Quick update, too. I just watched Kyle Teal run the bases here at Wrigley Field. That's something that the White Sox had indicated was going to be on the agenda, and he looked good rounding the bases. Will Venable mentioned yesterday that both Kyle Teal and Davis Martin could be in line for rehab starts next week in Charlotte if all goes well. So Kyle Teal looked good. He looked like he was in good spirits as he wrapped up his aggressive base running session here at Wrigley Field. So that is an encouraging sign. We shall see if Will Venable has any update prior to today's game about Teal's status, but I will just tell you, from my observation, he looked like he was running hard and feeling good. So that obviously would be another huge boost to the White Sox if they could get him back in the next couple of weeks. And then Davis Martin, of course, he's throwing a bullpen today. I don't know if he's done it yet. And they were going to assess how he feels and potentially have him go on a rehab start to Charlotte later this week as well. So there you go. That's the latest. Last night's great run. Of course, Jake Rogers with the heroics, the walk-off home run to help the White Sox come from behind after trailing 4-0 and pick up a 6-4 victory against the Mets in the series opener, which, of course, brought with it the return of Luis Robert Jr., something that we'll cover a little bit more in depth when we come back. Sox fans, join us at the ballpark Tuesday, August 25th for CHSN Day as the White Sox take on the Rangers at 6:40. 10,000 fans in attendance will receive a late night with Chuck and Ozzy bobblehead presented by CHSN. To purchase tickets and prepaid parking, visit whitesox.com/promos. I'm Jeff Meller. When we come back, we'll let you hear from Luis Robert Jr. about his return to Wrigley Field last night. This is the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
It's simple. The ESPN Chicago app.
White Sox fans, get access to the best seats at the best value and lock in a 2027 ticket plan today. Be here for the biggest matchups opening day on April 1st and exciting new promotions. Plus, enjoy flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and so much more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2027. Jeff Meller back here live at Wright Field as we get set for the White Sox to take on the Mets in the second of their three-game series here at Wright Field. Rangers will come into town after the Mets leave on Sunday for three more on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before the White Sox will have their first off day in 16 days. So it will be nice for the club to get through this stretch. So I mentioned Luis Roberts back in the house yesterday for the first time as a member of the opposition. And, of course, it should come as no surprise, but Will Venable, when he was anticipating Luis Robert returning, had nothing but great things to say about the player who donned a White Sox uniform for five-plus seasons.
Oh, Lou is great. You know, one of the guys I was obviously really excited to... One of the guys I was really excited to manage, you know, getting this job and talent that he is and the things that he'd been able to do on the field, and then to get to know him more and understand, you know, how hard he works behind the scenes, how hard he plays on the field, and just his passion for the White Sox and baseball, and just everything that he put into doing his best out there. It was just awesome guy to be around, and I'm excited to see him and catch up with him.
Do you think people didn't know that maybe totally about Luis because he was hurt a decent amount, but he did work as hard as anyone out there?
Yeah, he worked as hard as anybody and played as hard as anybody. I mean, I thought, you know, as I was coming into this job, and obviously the way that guys run is something that's important to me. And, yeah, I thought that with a number of these guys, it was going to be something I was going to have to push on. And he was one of the guys that, you know, really led the charge for us. So I don't know what the perception was coming in. I just knew he was a really good player and was excited to get to know him as a person. And, he's a great guy.
Obviously, moving in was a part of, you know, being able to put this team together for the front office a little bit, but how do you feel like you would have fit with this group, just kind of like the mentality the guys have?
Oh, well, I think if you think about what I view as like the real core of our team and the identity of our team, I mean, he helped build that, you know, so I think he would fit right in. Obviously, we've seen him fit in with these same guys in the clubhouse. The way that he plays, he really would have been one of the leaders in that, and I thought he was a big part of help developing that, you know, kind of culture and kind of identity of us, you know, going out there and running hard and playing hard.
So that was Will Venable yesterday prior to the start of the game. The White Sox in the, I'm trying to remember if it was the middle of the first inning. I guess it was probably heading into the second inning. So after the bottom of the first, the White Sox did a nice video tribute to Luis Robert Jr., where he received a nice round of applause from the 31,599 in attendance last night. Now, when he came to the plates later that inning, it was a little bit more of a mixed reaction, and I don't know if that was just part of the fact that, hey, once you're no longer with us, you're against us, but nevertheless, at least initially, it seemed like the fans appreciated Luis Robert Jr., who talked about what he's seen from this White Sox team this year, even though he's no longer a member of it.
No, me siento bien, me siento bien, siento que...
You know, it feels good. Obviously, I'm not with the team anymore, but this is a team that I was with a long time, and it will always have a special place in my heart. So, I keep tabs on the results of the games, and I'm really proud to see how they've been performing this season.
What do you think the fan reaction will be tonight? Do you even think about that?
Okay, ¿cuál tú crees que va a ser la reacción de los fanáticos? Yo, si eso es algo que tú piensas.
No sé, me da bueno, pero nadie sabe, pero pienso que va a ser bueno.
You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good reaction, but I hope it's a good one.
I think there was one more guys on Luis Robert Jr. where he talked about what he's seen from this team, right? Is there that second clip we can play? All right, let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves.
WGN Chicago is your radio home for the Hawks, the Cats, March Madness, and the Indy 500 on air and on smart devices worldwide.
Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly, getting you set for the Sox and Mets coming your way. Pre-game coverage officially begins at 5:30. But if you're new to the program, White Sox Weekly, 2 hours every Saturday prior to our pregame show beginning, and it is just essentially some extended pregame coverage for you as we talk about your first place Chicago White Sox. When we come back, quick programming notes. Mike Vassell was scheduled to join us at 4. We're going to push him back till 4:15. So the straw that stirs the drink inside the White Sox clubhouse will be joining us at 4:15, and what a great day to have him on a day after another walk-off win. So he'll be joining us at 4:15, and Brooke Fletcher of CHSN slated to drop by the booth right around 5 o'clock today as we get you set for White Sox and Mets. This is White Sox Weekly on the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
The legendary AM 1000, the home of the Chicago White Sox.
Welcome on into White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller, hanging out with you here at Reed Field as we're getting set for White Sox and Mets, game number 2 of 3 between the two parties here at Reed Field this weekend. Last night, White Sox win in a walk-off fashion. Sox fans head to the ballpark Wednesday, August 26th for Police and Fire Night presented by Illinois Lottery. As the White Sox take on the Rangers at 6:40, join us in honoring these who keep our community safe. To purchase tickets and prepaid parking, visit whitesox.com/promos. All right, so I wanted to bring this to the program this week because this certainly tickled my fancy. The video game world, streaming, and baseball all coming together. Now, Roy Oswalt, you may remember, a extremely good pitcher in the early 2000s, well into, I'd say, probably the late 2000s. So he was just a perennial Cy Young candidate. Never threw a perfect game in his big league career. Of course, Roy Oswalt, also a key member of that 2005 Houston Astros team that the White Sox beats in the 05 World Series. And yes, Oswalt never threw a perfect game during his big league career until now. Because earlier this week, streamer Jay Lucarelli made it his mission to complete a perfect game with Roy Oswalt on MVP 2005, the video game. That's right. And you may say, okay, big deal. Why do we? Well, it is a big deal when Jay Lucarelli made it his mission and it took him almost 2,000 attempts to do so, with him streaming every single attempt, because obviously he wanted a record, a live record of it occurring. And finally, a little over a week ago, Lucarelli finally finished it off in his 1,993rd attempt with Roy Oswalt on the mound. And again, MVP 2005 baseball, Lucarelli against the Boston Red Sox finally completed the achievements.
All right, Doug Norvelli, in for Curt Schilling. This is it. Everyone needs to clip this.
Stepping in, Doug Mirabelli.
Hit the follow, clip. Okay, Doug Mirabelli, we're going slider. We're going slider, chat. And out. That's it. That's it. That's the no-hitter. That's it.
Oswalt faced 27 batters and got them all.
1993.
That's one of the rarest things you'll ever see in a ball game.
I did it.
Perfect game by the pitcher. As a former pitcher and a baseball fan, my hat is off to that.
What do I do now?
That is awesome.
Dude, people are gifting the crap out of me.
The Houston Astros, 3. The
I've done it. The madman has done it. Let's go to this box score. Johnny Damon, nothing. Edgar Renteria, nope. Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, 0-3. Jason Veritek, more like Jason Voorhees because he's ugly. Trot Nixon, nope. Impeached like Richard Nixon. Oh, I'm getting a lot of gifts right now.
Jake Lucarelli streaming his perfect game that he threw with Roy Oswalt in MVP 2005. I have to chuckle because I think any baseball fan out there, especially if you're somebody who's under the age of 50, there's probably a good chance that there was some video baseball game that, you know, you grew up loving, whether it was maybe backyard baseball. I mean, Pablo Sanchez has been a character during this season as they bring back that game, that video game. He's been at numerous ballparks this season, a Giants like blow up version of him sitting in the stands. There's probably a game that you grew up loving. I actually was talking with Connor McKnight earlier today, and we were just joking about this, and Connor was telling me that he spent plenty of time during his freshman sophomore year of college playing this game in his dorm rooms with buddies, obviously usually a little bit later in the evening, if you will, after a night out. Of course, for Connor, it was Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a little bit older than Connor, so for me, the games that, you know, I really grew up loving, you know, RBI baseball for the NES was just the one that, you know, in terms of arcade and like just, you know, throw it on any moment and be locked in. For me, that was probably the one game that I truly like, the first one that I grew up loving. But obviously, I've seen my son, who's now 16, playing MVP, he plays the show, but obviously before the show, it was MVP baseball. So I think a lot of folks can absolutely remember a time when they would have these things where you try and do it and to finally knock out the perfect game with Roy Oswalt after 1,993 attempts. Certainly quite amusing. I thought I'd bring that to you. And I want to bring it up too, because we have Mike Vassell slated next, and I'm just going to ask Vass if he had a game that he grew up loving and if he is aware of what took place this past week and just how difficult an achievement that actually is, how long he might play a game. I know Colson Montgomery's a big gamer too, so maybe when I get in the clubhouse tomorrow, I'll pick his brain and ask him if he's seen this and what his biggest video game achievement was playing video games growing up. So I think it was worth bringing to you. And as I mentioned Mike Vassell, I wanted to also, if you had forgotten, shame on you, but of course Mike Vassell has become a huge fan favorites, but also he's been a clubhouse favorite, and it is the wand that Jordan Leisure purchased for him that has now become not just a meme, but a clip that's gone viral numerous times. It has been made into a RotoWear t-shirt, Southside Magic, and of course, because everybody loves the wand that Mike Vassell brings to the ballpark each and every day, the magic is going to be passed not just inside that club bus, but also to 20,000 fans later this season. This is how Mike Vassell was made aware by Chris Getz, Will Venable, and Justin Jersley that the White Sox were going to have a Vassell wand giveaway.
What's up, Matt?
Hold up. How you doing?
Good. Are you Ash? What's up, man?
Here, take a seat.
Here, have a seat.
See.
All right, so we got kind of a weird one. Yeah, certainly unusual. But like the commissioner's office has reached out, and obviously, the wand thing has become pretty significant, gotten a lot of attention. But for some reason, like, it's made them super uncomfortable. I don't know. I would imagine maybe some other teams have gotten uncomfortable about it. So, like, we've got to change something up. What are your thoughts on that?
Like, get rid of the wand?
I mean, I don't know if we can get rid of the wand.
I'm trying to think of what I can.
Yeah.
Hey, Jersh.
Yeah,
the problem is we need more wand. So how does 20,000 sound for our fans?
Oh my God. Congratulations on your first promotion.
Oh yeah, thank you. I'm going to the Harry Potter big leagues.
So this, oh my God. So this is it.
That's the one.
The wand.
And we obviously need more wand.
More wands.
We need more wands.
More wands.
More wands
you,
are coming.
You realize you really got me. Like, I was like, what do I do now? I don't have an identity. I'm wearing my own shirt. All right. Thank you. So the commissioner, that was not true.
No, they love it.
Oh. Thank you. Wow. Wow. I love it.
Mike Vassell getting the news that the White Sox will have the wand giveaway later this season on September 4th. Vassell's going to join us coming up next. I'm Jeff Meller here at Raid Field. This is White Sox Weekly on the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
We can talk full volume, man. It's so, like, this is so traditionally chess, you know, just like quiet and...
Just wait till Mike Vassell gets here,
Boy.
It'll be louder.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. That's comment by Kyle Teal. Just wait till Mike Vassell gets in here. Was to Gotham Chess, which is the online name for Levy Rosman. Levy is one of the most popular chess content creators online. He's often called the internet's chess teacher, and he has been traveling this season through different MLB clubhouses and basically squaring off with any players that want to play chess. And no surprise, once I was alerted about this by our executive producer, Brendan Riley, that Kyle Teal was somebody who was at the forefront, because I can tell you in my observation over the last two seasons, Kyle Teal is frequently locked in on the chessboard, always trying to figure out who he can coax into a game with him. And he's a huge fanatic. And so no surprise that he was at the forefront of the White Sox players taking on Levy Rosman, a.k.a. Gotham Chess. And you heard Kyle Teal joke about how, hey, it's quiet in the clubhouse, but just wait until Mike Vassell gets in here. Then you know it'll get louder. And it's going to get a little bit louder here on White Sox Weekly right now, as the man who is the straw that stirs the drink, as I like to say, inside the White Sox clubhouse. Maybe he's the man who brings the wand and all the magic to this Raid Field on the south side this year. Mike Vassell joining me here on White Sox Weekly. Mike, how's it going? I have to imagine you're feeling pretty good after last night's walk-off win.
Yeah. First off, thank you for having me on. And just another magical night at the Raid on a Friday night, if you will. You know, finally was able to get some balls over the wall, hit some homers, and it's a great walk-off win.
Well, first and foremost, our pleasure to have you on, because it's always an entertaining conversation. You mentioned, just another magical Friday night. It's been uncanny how on Friday night when you guys are donning those red city connects, it just seems like, you know, whether it's a walk-off or if it's, you know, just the offense clubbing the Royals that one night, it seems like every Friday night, and I don't, maybe it's the huge crowds that have been coming out adding a little bit of extra juice, but it's got to be unreal on a Friday just showing up here being like, man, I know something good's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better place to be on a Friday night than the Raid right now. I'll tell you that. I mean, it's been incredible what we've been able to do. And, you know, the other thing, too, is like we've been hitting the ball really hard over, you know, the game against Atlanta. We had a lot of barrels, a lot of great swings, just hitting balls right at people. So last night, finally being able to, you know, break through and you know, Berkey actually pitched well. You know, there was a little happens, but, you know, he was able to get through six, and bullpen shuts it down, keeps us in the game. And then, you know, once you're hitting homers at the Raid, three in a row, back to back to back, crowds going crazy. It was fun.
No doubt about it. Mike Vassell joining me here on White Sox Weekly. You're right. It was just awesome. What'd you think of Elvis Knight in addition to that, Mike?
Oh, yeah, that was cool. So I originally did not know it was Elvis Knight. And then I walk out there and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, it's Elvis Knight. And then he was performing after. It was cool. It was cool to see so many Elvis costumes and people dressed up.
Yeah, no, listen, that one's been going on for over a decade now here at Raid, and it's always one of the better crowds because they do such a great job with it. You're right about that. Mike Vassell joining me here on White Sox Weekly. So obviously I wanted to start with last night, Mike, but I also want to ask you, how's the rehab going? How are you feeling right now?
Good. You know, rehab's going great. I just started a throwing at type of deal. I'm throwing off a knee right now, which still not the real thing, but I am throwing, you know, weighted balls into a wall. So that's been going well and progressed to eventually at the end of the season here, you'll see me out on the field throwing a baseball, which will be very exciting. But yeah, I mean, rehab's going great. It is what it is. It's not easy. It's not exactly fun either. We went over my throwing program for the off season, which is going to be, it's going to be long. But yeah, you know, every day I show up, everyone's so supportive. Everyone's in a great mood, you know, helps me. Obviously I'd be love to be, you know, helping the team right now out on the field. But yeah, you know, rehab's going great.
Well, and I'm glad you brought this up, Mike, because this is something I thought about last year. I remember you made your big league debut, and you know, I remember we actually had you on. I believe it was the day after, and just to ask you, pick your brain, and what a whirlwind it was for you to just, you know, step into the White Sox clubhouse, and then all of a sudden, hey, you're a member of the team, and you're making your big league debut, and that was crazy. But now you're in a spot where, after last year, your rookie year, you had a phenomenal year. You went 101 innings. You were actually fifth on the roster in terms of innings pitched. And I was thinking about you a couple times this season, because what's interesting with this White Sox team, Mike, and you can talk to it better than I can, is that in 2026, your team has the second fewest innings pitched by starting pitchers. But that's not a knock. In some ways, it's wild, because it feels like modern baseball now, where you came up as a starter, you're a guy who knows what it's like to be on a routine, but then last year you embraced the role and you throw so many innings for this team, and this year we're seeing a lot of that again. I'm wondering, do you think this is kind of like more of a modern baseball thing, where it's not always going to be, hey, five starters looking to go seven or eight plus innings, but maybe more like, hey, an entire pitching staff full of guys who understand that that's not what baseball is, at least at the major league level anymore?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look around the league, it's not necessarily like just the long reliever. It's like these, they're almost like chameleons in the bullpen. These guys can throw, you know, three. They can go out, get a save, a hold, a spot start. I think that role is definitely becoming more popular. You know, you've seen Sean Newcomb this year. He goes out, he might start a game, throw two. And at the same time, when he comes in back half of the game with the lead, like we're feeling great about him being in there as well, you know. So he's kind of doing everything. You've seen Grant kind of do a number of different roles, even though, you know, he is our closer. I think it's becoming a more popular role. And I also think, you know, the other thing for pitchers in general is it really helps being able to, you know, if you are one of those guys, it really helps you with your career in general, because you show teams you're able to start, close, you know, throw three. It's just, I honestly embraced the role and I loved it because it was fun. You know, I got to start some games, I got a few saves, and I threw in every type of situation possible.
No doubt about it. Mike Vassil joining me here on White Sox Weekly. What's also fun is the personality you bring inside the clubhouse. I think it's just a testament to how much the guys, how good they feel about having you in your presence. You do keep it light, but also positive, Mike, and that's part of the reason why I know numerous teammates wanted you with the team this year as you were rehabbing it. And of course, eventually the wand made an appearance. Now, I know the backstory with Jordan, but for those who are unfamiliar with it, can you just give us a retelling of how the wand was finally brought about inside the dugout?
Yeah, so, you know, telling stories, and we're all joking around, and Jordan Leisure ended up getting me the wand. Now, once I had the wand, it was that game against the Angels. We're at home, and, you know, we'd started to play better, and I believe that day we were going for the sweep. And I thought to myself, you know what, I'm just going to bring in the dugout. You know, why not? This team's, we're a bunch of fun guys anyway. Let's bring in the dugout. I bring in the dugout. We hit a walk-off. And then all of a sudden we go on a 5-game winning streak. And then ever since then, I did not think in a million years was it going to catch on to the point now when I walk out in the dugout, I see people dressed as wizards. I was actually at lunch with my parents earlier today, and I walk out, somebody, you know, ends up saying, oh my God, it's a wizard. I don't know if people know me more as just the wizard and don't know my name's Mike, or just as Mike, but, you know, I love it. It brings some positive energy to the team. You know, the guys, like, you know, making fun of me, calling me the wizard, do something, score some runs. It's all fun. But, you know, in all honesty, coming into the year, my goal was to be able to keep the locker room as loose and light as possible because, you know, 162 isn't easy. So it's all been fun.
No, there's no doubt about it. And listen, A+, you have succeeded in helping to keep the atmosphere light. And yeah, we know right now we're in the dog days of a baseball season. And so I do think you have brought a lot to this team, even though you haven't been able to contribute on the field so far this year. It's funny, though, you mentioned it. I love it because take this in the best possible way, Mike. The wand, it is ridiculously stupid, but it's like what makes baseball awesome, too, is that something like that can catch on, and then all of a sudden, you know, your fan base is like embracing it and loving it. And to your point, you know, showing up as a wizard. I know, obviously, the Harry Potter night went off well because you already had that in the mix. But now talk to me a little bit, too, about the wand giveaway, which is coming up here on another Friday night, sure enough, September 4th, and they're going to be giving out 20,000 wands. We saw the White Sox release when they broke the news to you, they kind of, you know, pranked you with Chris Getz and Justin Jerschley and Will Venable. Talk to me a little bit about what that was like, and when you just think back and go, I can't believe my giveaway is a wand.
Yeah, so... You know, so the day that Will, he had asked me, said, you know, he finds me in the locker room. Pretty sure it was a Monday that they did it. And he goes, hey, you know, Vass, you know, come with me. And I'm thinking in my head right away, like, I legitimately was like, uh-oh. Like, what did I do now? Like, did I cross a line? What happened? So I asked him on the way in. I said, hey, am I in trouble? I goes, they got something for you. So I sit down and I see Getzy, I see Jin Wong, and I didn't know Jersh was in there. And, you know, we start talking. So now I know I'm not in trouble when they say, you know, do the whole bit. But then when I see Jersh come out with the wand in the box, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, it was awesome. It was awesome. And, you know, I talked to Miguel Vargas. Vargy was telling me, he goes, he's like, bro, you were so good last year, and you didn't even get a bobblehead this year, nothing. He goes, now you're on the IL, and you've got a wand giveaway. He goes, how awesome is that? I go, Vargy, this year, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, nothing does. And then now with the wand giveaway that night, 20,000, it's going to – I don't, you know, say this is going to happen for sure, but another Friday night at the rate, wand giveaway night – who knows what's going to happen that night?
No.
Who knows? It's probably going to be something crazy. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Speak it into existence like the wizard that you are, Mike Vassell.
That's right.
I also love the Southside Magic shirts, the RotoWear shirt that has the cartoon character of you with the wand. You have to tell me. Please tell me you have at least two of these shirts because I feel like I see you wearing it every single day in the clubhouse.
So I, in fact, do not have two shirts. I wear the same one every single day. Now, obviously, it gets washed.
Okay.
It gets cleaned. You know, it gets cleaned every day. But, yeah, it's my rehab shirt. And I love when the other guys wear them, too. I see Mune wearing his. Sean Newcomb wears his. I see Grant Taylor and Brian Hudson sometimes wearing them. It's awesome. It's great.
Well, listen, that's good to hear. I'm glad it's getting washed. I think, though, when you're the centerpiece of the shirt, you should have a couple, at least to throw into the rotation. But
I'll get on that, Mike.
I'll see if I can make something happen here. Talk to me a little bit. So correct me if I'm wrong, but yesterday you had the framed photo, right, of that show up at your locker, right?
So yesterday I show up to the field, and now there is a photo of me. And it weirdly is so real looking. I mean, it's awesome. It's a framed photo of me as a wizard. So now I have that in the apartment with Chase, and got home last night, looked at it.
Where did you put it? Because that was a source of contention yesterday when you broke the news to your roommate Chase Mydroth that you were going to put it above his bed.
So right now it's just leaning against the window. There will be a day where I collect all of the photos of me as a wizard and everything. And I will decorate Chase's room. I would have loved to put that photo in his bathroom above the toilet. That'd be nice for him. I just like Chase to remember who he lives with and you know, not forget about me when he's playing. So we'll see. Well, I'll think of something about where I'm going to put that one up.
All right. Well, please let us know when you figure out where exactly it's going to go, because we'll want to relay that to all the listeners out there. Well, Mike, listen, it's been a pleasure. I cannot wait for September 4th, that Friday night, because it's going to be one of the better giveaways. And listen, it's going to be – from everybody I've talked to, Sox fans, they're pretty excited about that one. But it's interesting because – the Sox might have had the best giveaway ever with the Pope hat giveaway, you know, a couple weeks ago. So you've got tall timber that you're going to be in the mix with in terms of giveaways.
Oh, no, I know. The Pope hat one was awesome. Literally sold out game, 40,000 Pope hats. So cool. So look, you know, it's hard with a magic wand giveaway to compete with the Pope. but, you know, I'm looking forward to a pretty good turnout that night.
I imagine it's going to be a pretty good one. Mike, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for spending it with us. We will catch up soon. And like I said, have a good experience tonight. Cast some spells and go get a win.
Of course. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Again, that's Mike Vassell joining us here on White Sox Weekly. It's going to be a pretty cool night. It's always a cool night, especially on Friday field. But no doubt the crowd is going to be hopping when the White Sox do have that particular giveaway, which again is September 4th, as the White Sox take on the Twins at 6:40. As you heard, 20,000 fans in attendance will receive an exclusive White Sox magic wand. Don't miss your chance to bring a little magic to Wright Field. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/wand. Jeff Meller here on ESPN 1000 and the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network, taking your calls as we usually do, and also previewing White Sox and Mets, game number 2 of 3. We'll take a trip around the majors when we come back right here on the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
Get weird with Waddle's World on in Chicago.
And the first pitch of this one is swung on and driven to deep left field. Back goes Ewing at the wall. It's gone into the upper deck. First pitch, home run for Nando. What a start for San Diego tonight on top, 1-0. Fly ball to right field. To the corner goes Fernando. At the wall, he leaps at Fernando! Yeah! Makes the grab! Oh! Oh, Nando up into the air, brings it down. Fernando takes it to deep right field. Bench going back at the wall, leaps, it's gone! Fernando's second home run of the night. He gave it, and he take it away.
That was Fernando Tatis Jr. earlier this week on Tuesday against the White Sox opponent today, the New York Mets. What a night for Fernando Tatis Jr. Couple home runs, and he robbed what would have been a grand slam in a 5-2 victory. So a couple of homers, and he also stole away 4 runs from the Mets. Francisco Lindor robbed of a grand slam on that one, and the Padres took that game. Padres have been playing much better baseball over the last month and have actually worked their way back into an NL wildcard spot lately with their play. They're now 69-60, 1 game in front of the Diamondbacks for that third and final NL wildcard spot. In the American League, of course, something I've been harping on quite a bit here over the last week, the White Sox, obviously the division is first and foremost at the front of everybody's mind. The White Sox are 4.5 games in front of the Twins and Guardians as they enter play today. 6 games in front of the Tigers. Tigers have now fallen to 61-67 on the season, the inverse of the White Sox 67-61 record. So they are falling away a little bit. They've lost 3 in a row as the Royals, look out, have hit a hot streak. KC now won 6 in a row, but they are for the most part out of the race. They're 12 games back right now of the White Sox. Royals are 56-74 in last place in the American League Central. But something I've been talking about quite a bit is the fact that the White Sox are in position right now to come up with a bye in the first round of the MLB playoffs. That is critical, folks, and it's critical because first and foremost, you don't have to use your toppers if you get that bye, while your opponents, theoretically, are going to be using their top two or three starters in a wild card round against their opponent. Right now, the way it lines up, the White Sox would get the bye along with the Tampa Bay Rays, who are in first place in the AL East with the best record. Now, the Yankees and Red Sox both have better records than the White Sox. However, obviously, because they're in the AL East, they can only have one team secure that first-round bye, so it's going to come down to a race between the Rays, Yankees, and Red Sox. Whichever team doesn't end up winning the American League East, in all likelihood, will end up as the numbers 4 and 5 seeds as the first two wildcard spots. So right now, the way it would end, if the season ended today, would be that the Yankees and Red Sox would square off in the first round of the wildcard American League playoffs, and they would take on the Rays, whoever won that series, with the White Sox awaiting the winner of the 3-6 showdown. Right now, the Astros are 65-64 in first place in the AL West, one game in front of the Rangers, and the Rangers right now are sitting in that third spot in the third wild card spot in the American League, that sixth seed. So it could be critical for the White Sox to potentially grab this bye here. That was actually the subject of a Twitter poll question that we ran on Thursday. We just offered up the idea, hey, if we said, hey, White Sox guarantee you right now the playoffs, but the number three seed, so they actually have to play in the wild card round, would you take it, White Sox fans, or would you let the season play out the way it is right now, knowing that the White Sox can potentially secure a bye if they win the American League Central and stay in front of either the Astros or Rangers in the AL West, right? So we asked that Twitter poll question, and Len and DJ, as they do, weighed in on that conversation earlier in the week.
I think you let it play out.
So, I want the division.
All right, so you take win the division and play in the wild card.
Absolutely.
I would let it play out. We'll get the fans' thoughts here in a second.
So, yes, the fans say 65% want to let it play out. We're basically asking the question, how much confidence do you have in this White Sox team right now?
Right.
We could guarantee you a playoff berth right now.
That's like the lottery. Like, you want your $150 million now, or you want to let it play out and get it year to year? No, I want it now. Give me my money.
You know, what you said is accurate, DJ. Yeah, take the division. But winning the division and being the three seed almost feels like you are a wild card. You get to host it, but you still are in the same boat as the three wild card teams.
That's like asking a rookie, you want this multi-year contract? Take this five-year contract. We'll buy out your arbitration, or we can just let it play out. How many times have you seen rookies turn that down?
It happens occasionally, but, yeah, most guys will take the first deal. You want door number one.
For me, it's like today, your first place team, any bad run, and then after that bad run, if you don't make it, everybody goes, well, you should have taken the contract. You should have taken the first place. Let's not even talk about it. We're in. We know it. And then we'll take that three-game series. Adios, amiba.
I think that's an absolutely defensible position to take. Yeah. You are normally very greedy about these sorts of things, so.
Yeah, you know, I've not wanted to be on the edge of the seat lately. We've been talking about that. Just, you know, stop giving me the heart attack. Letting it play out means you're sitting here every day going, okay, what are we doing? If you're guaranteeing me I'm already in, thank you. Breathe a little bit.
It's interesting because I agree with Len. I want to get greedy personally. And had you, I think, offered anybody this option early in the season, I think it would have been overwhelmingly, I'm talking 90%+ would have said, give me the wild card, or I'm sorry, the division and the number three seed, and we will absolutely sign up for that. But it's been a wild ride that the White Sox have taken their fans on this year. And now we're at a point where it's like, hey, August 22nd, let's get greedy. Let's go ahead and win the division and take the two seed and get that bye. And I mean, now, based on the final closing poll, 66% said, let's let this play out and see what happens. That's how good they're feeling about the White Sox. And by the way, we asked this poll before last night's most recent walk-off win, the 10th of the year for the White Sox. And that's the other factor too, right? If they can have home field advantage for the second round, I mean, boy, the White Sox this year just been remarkable, 38-25 at home this season. That is the second best record at home in the American League. And now, listen, they're not bad on the road, but 29-36, seven games under. So obviously it would be a huge advantage to have home field advantage for a division series where you could potentially line up your front end starters for, you know, like a Sean, maybe go Burke, Castillo. We'll see how Davis Martin looks when he gets back, but you could potentially go with those three to front your rotation with your opponent coming in, having already used their starters, and maybe, just maybe, having to, you know, duct tape it together, if you will, for the divisional series, which has kind of been the case that we've seen play out here recently with the introduction of these three wild card format that the MLB has adopted since COVID. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. We're getting you set for White Sox and Mets today here at Rate Field, the second of three games between these two teams. First pitch coming your way at 6:10 tonight. Luis Castillo on the mound up against Christian Scott. When we come back, we will go around the majors a little bit, catch you up on the latest storylines from around MLB right here on the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
Carmen and Yurko, weekdays, 9 to noon, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Jeff Meller here at Rate Field. Join us at the ballpark for Family Sundays, presented by Coca-Cola. First 125 kids to enter at Gate 5 will head to the Wintrust Kids Zone mini field to receive autographs from some of their favorite players, plus enjoy family-friendly activities. Kids get to run the bases and more. To learn more, purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/Sunday. Jeff Meller hanging out with you. Pre-game show officially starting at 5:30 this evening, 6:10 first pitch. Of course, Len and DJ will join us right around 6 o'clock today, as they do 10 minutes prior to the first pitch of every broadcast, as we are on WGN Radio today with the Bears playing. So the Bears Radio Network is on ESPN 1000. Usually you can hear us on ESPN Chicago, but today WGN is your flagship station here in Chicago. So it is Players Weekend, and I always love this because it's a great opportunity for players to have a chance to show off their personality a little bit, what their some of their passions are, and of course what their interests are, and lots of great bats, cleats, all these colorful items. I will say the only thing I don't like about Players Weekend is that all of this stuff, it is so cool and so intricate that I do feel like I have to peruse and go out of my way to search for the coolest, you know, shoes, bats that are out there, because it is very difficult to actually appreciate some of the artwork, because, you know, if they're at the plate on television, or you need a still photo a lot of times of all the stuff that goes into all of the cool things. And one of the cooler ones that I saw cross this weekend was Richie Palacios. Richie Palacios is the utility man for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he's really having quite a nice little breakout season this year, by the way. Richie Palacios, actually the brother of former White Sox player Joshua Palacios, and Richie has made his way and is somebody who, again, he's been getting better and better with more and more opportunities that he's getting in Tampa. Obviously, that's a club that is likely going to be in the playoffs this year. And I loved the Richie Palacio cleats that I saw him wearing that were debuted, because they were featuring Lisa Simpson. And now, I've seen Simpson's gear before, but Lisa is not somebody who I've seen a player feature in the past. And Then I did a little bit of digging, and I found out the backstory as to why Richie Palacios was sporting some Lisa Simpson gear. And turns out it's because Richie Palacios had such a great experience with Yardley Smith on her podcast. And if you're saying Yardley Smith, that name sounds somewhat familiar. It's because Yardley Smith is, of course, Simpson fans know, the voice of Lisa Simpson. And she's a big sports fan. Yardley Smith's husband is actually a former minor league baseball player. And she has a podcast called Guard the Yard, in which she interviews professional athletes. And sure enough, Richie Palacios was on her podcast. He didn't know much about her other than that she was the voice of Lisa Simpson. And when she was able to line it up, she had him, she interviewed him. And one of the things, Richie was blown away by how well prepared she was, all the research that she did, and when it came to interviewing her subject. And so he was just fascinated. And sure enough, he's a big sneakerhead. And he decided that because it was such a cool experience, he wanted to feature Lisa Simpson on his cleats this Players Weekend. And part of the artwork that is on it is a soggy baseball, and that's a story he told Yardley Smith on her podcast earlier.
And so I want to go back to your early life. So you grew up in New York City, Brooklyn, mostly, yes. Right? So there's this great story where you and your friends and your brother are playing baseball as kids, and you're playing in the neighborhood. But for reasons I want you to explain, I think you said you were playing with a softball and used to weight the softball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming so it would go faster and further. But then, of course, that meant sometimes it went into windows.
Yeah.
And then you had to scatter.
Yeah.
And so my question is, why not just get a regular baseball? Or tell me the origin of that.
Yeah, it was actually, we had a trainer from the Dominican Republic when we were younger. And he would tell us that in DR, like, they would waterlog the softballs and then hit them. So like when you would get impact on it, like you would truly like, you know, get power through it. So we do that for about like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And then we hit baseballs after. And like the first time we did it, we realized like when we hit the balls, the baseballs going way further than we expected because we were actually like truly staying through them and like, you know, pushing through it. So we would do that in the neighborhood. And you know, we're working out in fields that are in the middle of neighborhoods. Like there's like houses all around. Then there's like a little baseball field right there. And that's our spot to work out. So we'd go there and sometimes we'd crash windows and cars and a lot of things. But
that
I mean,
seems like some poor city planning.
It was all worth it because we made it out. So
yes,
hopefully
you made it out.
No one comes for us after this. They know why their car got messed up in like 2005.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, not at all.
And so soaking the softballs in water, I'm assuming, is sort of like running with ankle weights, right?
Exactly.
So you get stronger, and then when you take off the ankle weights, you run like the wind.
Yeah. And like when we were younger, I get as much of this, all this analytics they have now, where they have these weighted balls for this and that. Like we were just, you know, in New York City making up ideas on our own from our friends. And if it made us feel good, we tried it. If it didn't, we threw it to the side. So that's where the waterlogged softballs come. They probably still do that in DR now, or they probably got weighted balls as well.
Pretty cool. I enjoyed that story there. And again, if you have a chance to go ahead and seek out the cleats, it's got Lisa Simpson with a cape flying on the side. And then it's got a couple of, I think, mantras, gratitude, fortitude, joy, which written in the classic Simpsons font that you're familiar with in the opening scene. And then, of course, it has Built Different, which is Richie Palacios and his brother Josh Palacios, former White Sox outfielder, the company that they started. And it's got, as I mentioned, the waterlogged baseball sitting in a puddle on the back of the right cleat, and then on the back of the left cleat in the Simpsons font, it's got the number one, Palacios' number. So pretty sweet, and I just love Players Weekend because you get all these intricate, and it, for somebody who enjoys art, to see that is pretty cool. So I appreciated that, and again, it came about because Yeardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson, had Richie Palacios on her podcast, Guard the Yard. That's where you heard that story from. I'm Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. Before we take a quick time out, and I expect to have Brooke Fletcher of CHSN joining me in the broadcast booth here. Let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves.
WGN Chicago is your radio home for the Hawks, the Cats, March Madness, and the Indy 500 on air and on smart devices worldwide.
All right, so when we come back, we will let you relive the magic from last night, and hopefully Brooke Fletcher, who was on the field interviewing the hero Jake Rogers, joins us. This is the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
The 0-1. Rogers with a high fly ball out in the left center. Robert back. It is gone! He's won it! That is a two-run homer! Jake Rogers!
Now let's celebrate! Let's jump up and down! I love it!
He's going to be mobbed at home plate. This team, man, oh, man.
I don't know what to think. I mean, that was an incredible atmosphere, incredible game. I mean, I just tried to put a good swing on up there and just got out, but it was enough.
Runner on third, two outs. Woo! Feels nice, doesn't
That's
it?
That's cold.
All right, you got two outs, a runner on third. What's going through your mind as you're approaching that at-bat?
I mean, he throws hard. He throws hard, so I knew he was going to try to challenge me early and just try to put a good swing on it and caught some barrel.
You hear people chanting Jake in the stands. What does it mean just to be a part of this group and make the impact the way that you...
It's incredible. I mean, this atmosphere is awesome. I mean, I've came here for a long time as a visiting player and got a lot of boos, so it's good to hear some cheers from the fans, and, you know, it's a great atmosphere here at the Rink.
For you guys to come back from down four, just what are you starting to learn about this group and what they can bring?
Never give up, man. I mean, back-to-back-to-back homers to put us right back where we needed to be, and then bullpen came down, shut it down, and had some good at-bats there in the ninth to put me in a good position to make a good swing. And, yeah, this team is incredible. I mean, they have a lot of fun, which I love.
Last night's hero, Jake Rogers, with the walk-off home run. And then on the field with Brooke Fletcher, my next guest, courtesy of CHSN. Brooke, just another magical Friday night here at Wright Field. It's been just been crazy this year. How many walk-offs? 10. Count them, 10. You know what? I should have done my homework here, but have you been on the field for all 10? Because I know Connor occasionally
will
be a game or two where you're not, but for the most part, I feel like I'm putting you on the spot there. That's bad hosting by
me. No, you're good. If they've been home games, then yes, I have been here.
Yeah, I think you have been.
But yeah, I've been dodging a lot of Gatorade showers, that's for sure.
Which leads me perfectly. Okay, so last night, you're getting plenty of experience doing these now, these walk-offs, and you know that there is a Gatorade bath around the corner. So what's the strategy? You have to ask the first question, but you're also acutely aware that there's probably going to be a couple of White Sox players looking, probably led by Miguel Vargas, to come up from behind and hit him with it. So are you thinking, I don't want to spoil the surprise? Or are you still just too locked in on the question you have to ask?
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, because you don't want to spoil the surprise for the person that you're interviewing. But I always try to position myself, you know, where I can have a sight line to what, you know, whether it's Chase or Colson or Miguel in the dugout just grabbing the Gatorade cooler there. But, you know, last night in a minute, like usually they would do it just after a win.
Yeah.
And not just for the walk-offs. They were doing it for a while. And then they stopped doing it. So I kind of let my guard down. I wasn't expecting it, but Jake went like all Creed on me, and he just like spread his arms out like with arms wide open, and that's kind of gave me the hint to like, oh gosh, I gotta get out of the way. But yeah, it's kind of like an art form, but they are saying like, we're gonna get you one day. So I mean, I've knock on wood, I've gone all season without getting splashed yet, so hopefully I can finish it strong.
Well, listen, I think the White Sox fans are going to be rooting for plenty of opportunities, because it's just so fun. Like, it's just wild. On Friday night, too, I don't know what it is about Friday nights, but it's just, I don't know if it's the raucous crowd, big attendance nights, seems like, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they have been, obviously, Elvis night last night just brought in a huge crowd as well. So what'd you think about Jake Rogers, what he did in that moment, and just kind of, you know, your thoughts about talking to him on the field? And then I know he had a funny moment after the game in the press conference with him.
Yeah, no, it was funny. He, when we were talking to him after, he was like, I have no idea what I said to you. I blacked out. As he was rounding the bases. It's hard to believe that I actually covered him when I was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. He had just came to the Tigers. It was, gosh, before the 2020s, 2019 maybe? Just showing my age here. But yeah, I covered him, and just to think that he has never had a career walk-off is just kind of crazy to think about. So the fact that he was able to have that moment, just kind of a nice welcome for him, especially after the month that he has had, it was a nice way just to kind of cap it off. But yeah, I mean, he kind of was like, listen, he knew the fastball was coming, and so he just tried to put a good swing on it. And then, you know, he's going viral, but just as much as the woman that got the home run ball, Emma Rodriguez, I actually messaged her this morning because everybody was wondering what was in the bag.
So what did you get any follow-up, anything from her? All right. So, because, yeah, that obviously, if you for the radio broadcast, we maybe didn't have enough time to relay what had actually happened. But obviously, anybody who was watching on CHSN, you saw that the woman who came away with the home run ball lost numerous things from her purse. It all seemed like it could have been pretty. What did you learn?
So, yeah, she told me that she comes to White Sox games pretty often. Get all of the items back. There was some cash, there was some change, some lip gloss, a card holder, but she said most importantly, a Dunkin' coupon. So she did get Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, she did get that all back. And I messaged her because I'm curious. Like, that's a big deal, his first career walk-off, if you know, they try to negotiate to get that ball back. So I'm waiting for her to respond. TBD if she's going to come back, and, you know, maybe they can work something out. She gets the ball back to Jake.
Now, she was kind of critical for me to be able to confirm that it was actually out of here, because I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I thought AJ Ewing had come up with a huge robbery and had spoiled the night. I'll be honest, too. Like, I was stunned how quickly Southpaw was in center field with the flag. That was aggressive, because I thought, are we sure that that's a home run?
Yeah.
Like, how quickly did you recognize in the moment that it was out of here?
Once the guys started running out on the field, I think that's when I realized. But yeah, it was a little questionable, and I think Jake kind of questioned it as well. But, man, it's just been so much fun just to watch this group. And again, like, the fact that he's been in the league for so long, and I think it just goes to, again, the magic of this team right now, not pun intended, you know, with the magic wand, but just what this team is doing and just how hitting is contagious and the camaraderie. I think, you know, he's just another example of just what this group's able to do right now.
Yeah, it seems like whoever they bring in, they find their role nicely. And I think that's a credit to not just the team and the camaraderie, but also, like, Will Venable, what he's done. Like, it's wild to me. I still see so many people who want to be armchair managers and quickly want to criticize playing the results. Just keep saying, boy, they're 67-61. It's August 22nd. There's nobody, I don't care how big of a Sox fan or homer you are, there's nobody who would have said, hey, on August 22nd, they're going to be six games above 500, in first place by 4.5. I keep going back, like, it's been a wild ride, and I can't believe they're at this spot right now.
Sometimes it's just, you talk about teams' years, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's just like things are just continuing to fall into place, and it almost feels like that. But I don't want to take away from the skill set that this group has. They have great players, and there's so much potential for them to even grow. I mean, they're all so young. You forget how young that they are. But just things are just the right type of guys in the clubhouse, just the camaraderie. I mean, it's just the perfect combination. You almost describe it as like a puzzle. It's just the right puzzle pieces just to create success this season. But I thought it was really cool, too. You know, Chris Getz in this front office have done such a great job assembling a great staff. We had Walker McKibben mic'd up last night. And, you know, we talk about Will, and he rightfully should win manager of the year, in my opinion. But, you know, Walker, it was nice just to see the collaborative effort and just to kind of hear him and just that input as well. And what goes into these decisions, the game within the game, if you will.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because, yeah, for anybody who wants to, like, immediately say, again, you know, Will, I know I'm kind of like it's not a straw man, because I know they're out there, but anybody who's yelling about like the decisions that Will Venable is making, understand that it is a collective here. There's a lot of thought. Ultimately, Will Venable might have the final say, but he's not the type of guy who's going to go out there and it's my way or the highway. There's a lot put into the decisions that they're making. And you know what? I didn't agree. I will say this. I did not agree with them pitching to Pete Crow Armstrong the other night. And a lot of people were upset about that. But at the same time, I recognize that there are reasons why they chose not to do it.
Yeah.
They wanted to go after him, and they wanted first base open for Seiya Suzuki. So just understand, you know, that this team isn't in the spot they're at without Will Venable. And as you said, someone like Walker McKinman and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, feeding into it.
And he talked about his process, you know, to the media the next day and just kind of what goes into those decisions. And he, you know, they're very stat driven. They like, obviously, the data where you're starting to see that it's kind of mainstream in baseball right now. But also, how do you find that balance of that and the eye test, right? And so that was kind of the question. But he says, you know, he focuses on the stats, but he also just collaborates and he talks to guys. I think that's what makes him such a good manager in my eyes. Like, Will's just, he's so chill. He's a great feel guy, which I feel like you have to be as a manager, right? Because you have so many different personalities in a clubhouse. Dave Roberts, I think he does such a great job at that. But he's also willing to admit, like, hey, like, yeah, maybe I should have made a better decision there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he's willing to, you know, admit his flaws or something, and that, hey, he's not going to be perfect every single time. I think that that goes into being a great leader, understanding, like, yeah, there's room for me to grow as well. And I just think that's why he just continues to ascend as the season goes on.
No, I think that's a great point, because the truth is that you're not going to be perfect as a manager. Baseball's not about being perfect to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, sometimes you play like what seems like a perfect game, but again, it's 162 games. It's a grind. There's going to be plenty of games that you win and they look ugly.
Yeah.
And maybe some nights your manager pushes the perfect buttons, and then other nights he pushes all the wrong ones, but the players pick them up. And I think to your point about being somebody who the entire clubhouse respects, right? And they're willing to go out there and fight and say, all right, whatever, bad decision there, it doesn't matter, we're going to pick him up in this instance because we know that he's got our back in all these other instances, and he's going to put us in position to win most times. So I'm with you completely. I hope this ride continues, because he absolutely has earned Manager of the Year in my mind. White Sox Weekly, Brooke Fletcher of CHSN joining me here. Brooke, so today it's Players Weekend here. I'm curious, is there anything that has caught your eye inside the White Sox clubhouse in terms of just artwork, bats, cleats, anything that you've seen that is particularly cool?
Yeah, I've been keeping my eye out. I know Davis Martin, the ACE program, he has a pair of cleats that was designed by them. I know Lori's Children's Hospital, the children, they come to the Wright Field pretty often, but they designed some cleats for Anthony Kay, something that is very dear to his heart. I believe it's his cousin or his niece, I want to say. She suffers from cancer, so Bella. So I know he has cleats dedicated to her. Chase Mydroth, he's from Manhattan Beach, and so he had a really cool bat that was designed, and it looked like the pier there, and some of his favorite, you know, dive bars or restaurants, and he likes to play beach volleyball. So it's just a cool weekend just for guys to be able to kind of express themselves and get to know their personalities a little bit more.
No, there's no doubt. My only regret is that all of this stuff, all the artwork, it is so cool and intricate that it's really hard to get like a good look at it. You're right. You need still photos. You need something that's put up on IG. Otherwise, it's really hard to like truly appreciate it, because they're you know, keep an eye out if you're watching tonight, because a lot of this stuff is really cool. And like Brooke said, it's really near and dear to a lot of the causes that a lot of these guys are passionate about. Will met the media today. Anything stand out to you that he said?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody wants to know kind of what's the deal with Davis Martin and Kyle Teal. Kyle Teal, he ran today. He was progressing really well. He almost ran at full percent, 100%, which is good. But they want to see how he recovers. That's kind of the biggest next. That's the next step. So he said Charlotte, they have an off day, and then they'll kind of see how he recovers, and then they'll decide on when he can go for his rehab assignment. Davis is scheduled for one more bullpen, but it did go really well for him. So he's progressing at the right time.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Brooke, hopefully we'll be watching you interview another hero tonight. I personally prefer when they're not walk-offs, just because then we don't have to stress. Like a 10-1 win is always a little bit easier on us. But at the same time, if it has to be a walk-off, so be it. There's nobody I would rather watch interview the hero of the game than you. So we'll be watching on CHSN. Thanks for popping by.
Thank you for having me.
That is Brooke Fletcher. Of course, you see her on CHSN for all the White Sox broadcasts on the field, interviewing with the players. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. When we come back, we'll get you set with tonight's lineup. Also, we'll relive those classic moments with some Elvis music in the background. This is the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Sox fans, upgrade your game day with a private suite. Perfect space to host your closest friends and family with customizable food, beverage options. For more information, visit whitesox.com/suites or call 312-674-1000. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. We are about 10 minutes away from our pregame coverage officially beginning on the network as the White Sox and Mets get set for game number 2 of 3 here at Rate Field this weekend. White Sox will welcome the Rangers into town after the Mets leave on Sunday. Rangers will be here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Those are all night games, 6:40 first pitches here at Rate Field. And then the White Sox will finally have their first off day in 16 days after that series with the Rangers before they hit the road next weekend for a big series against the Minnesota Twins, who currently reside in second place with the Guardians. Twins and Guardians 4.5 back of the White Sox. Tigers now 6 out of first place after having dropped 3 in a row, including to the Royals, who have now won 6 straight in Kansas City. They're still, though, in fifth place in the American League Central. All right, wanted to give you a little bit of a feel for what last night was like. If you missed it, of course, it was Elvis night here at Rate Field, one of the best promotions they do here. They've been doing it now for, I think, over 10 years. It's been fantastic, and each and every night, it never fails to live up to expectations. They, of course, wrap up the evening after the game is over with an Elvis impersonator performing on the field after the game wraps up, and then a fireworks show. So it's always a fantastic night with lots of Elvis music throughout the park in between innings. And of course, when you have a result like you had last night, how can it get any better than that? White Sox trailing 4-0, and that's where we'll let Elvis pick it up from there.
Wise men say.
And he swings and drives one to left, way back there. Gone! He didn't waste it. 2-run homer, they're on the board.
Well, you said we might have to hit a home run to get back in it, and was that soon enough?
What a night for Miguel Vargas. Swinging a fly ball, well hit. Out in the deep left center. Gone! Grinchick makes it 4-3. Swinging a fly ball to right. It is gone! We're tied! Colson with a line rocket to right. The 0-1. Rogers with a high fly ball out in the left center. Robert back. It is gone! He's won it! That is a 2-run homer! Jake Rogers!
Now let's celebrate! Let's jump up and down! I love it!
He's going to be mobbed at home plate! This team! Man, oh man!
Can't help falling in love with this team, am I right? The White Sox beat the Mets yesterday, their 10th walk-off of the season. That's right, 10 times here at Rate Field, they have walked it off with a game-winning hit, frequently of the home run variety. Not always, but obviously frequently there have been home runs as walk-offs. Let's see if I can, off the top of my head, run through them. You had Jake Rogers with that home run last night. We had Miguel Vargas with his walk-off home run against the Tigers the night that Munetaka Murakami was injured. That was a Friday night. We had Braden Montgomery with his walk-off in his big league debut against the Atlanta Braves. That was a Tuesday night, if memory serves. Colson Montgomery, I think that was a home run, right? Antonacci's was a base hit. Tristan Peters had a walk-off home run in addition to a walk-off base hit. And then Edgar Caro had a walk-off home run against the Cubs. So I think by my count, if I'm correct, just running off the top of the dome here, there were 6 walk-off home runs by the White Sox so far this season at Wrigley Field. What an unbelievable time here. And again, a lot of them happening on Friday nights, which just made it that much wilder because in front of big, big crowds, including 31,000, almost 32,000 last night in attendance, 31,599 here to see the White Sox beat the Mets on Elvis night. Speaking of the Mets, they will throw Nolan McLain tomorrow. Christian Scott on the mound for the Mets tonight, and he will be opposed by Luis Castillo for the White Sox. Castillo going to make his 4th start for the White Sox since they acquired him at the trade deadline. So we shall see what takes place tonight. Hopefully, Luis Castillo can get into that form that he had against the Reds when he was just absolutely dominant, striking out 10 in 7 innings of work for the White Sox that night. Hopefully, he can conjure up similar images tonight. A couple quick things I wanted to note. Not sure if you saw it yesterday afternoon, though. Jacob Mizorowski outdueled Chris Sale in what is likely going to be, I think, the final. It'll be the final nail in the coffin, I believe, for Jacob Mizorowski in terms of his Cy Young candidacy. He, I think, is probably going to end up taking it because Chris Sale has been excellent, but Jacob Mizorowski has been absolutely dominant for the Brewers, and I think he's probably going to be your National League Cy Young Award winner. Also, speaking of top pitchers, Cade Anderson makes his big league debut for the Seattle Mariners today against the Cubs, number one pitching prospect in all of baseball. You hear the music. I'm going to wrap up this White Sox Weekly. I want to say thank you, though, to White Sox pitcher Mike Vassell, the Magic Man, and, of course, CHSN's Brooke Fletcher for joining me on White Sox Weekly. Great job by Jake Littman and the executive producer of White Sox Baseball, Brendan Riley. Pregame show starts next right here on the ESPN Chicago Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.